San Francisco, California. This is Mostly Music. And now, your hosts, Ignatius Palafox and Low Spark.
And we are back. Welcome back. It's been a while.
It's been quite a while.
I haven't seen you in a while, and those listening haven't heard us in a while. Hopefully it's been worth the wait. I think so. Probably has been.
Yeah. A little anticipation there. Yeah. Welcome back to another episode of the Ryan Adams Appreciation Show. This is Mostly Music.
It sort of seemed to be like that. Mostly. Welcome back to Mostly Ryan Adams. No. Although I will say I have been listening to that.
That album. Prisoner?
I was.
Oh, come on.
Yeah. I was after that for a while, man.
It's like wine. Just going to let it breathe a little.
I think that is what it was. Because initially, I don't want to like it. We're not going to start there. We are back fresh. It's hot today.
It is 79 degrees.
Yeah, I want to say it's 79, but for us it's like 90. Because we're not used to it in San Francisco here.
Saturated with the fog in our blood.
It's great. You know, it's still a little hazy, but it is really warm. It is really warm. So we're gonna be greasy palmed today. Hope that's all right. Feel our warmth, because I'm sure as you're listening to this now, it's probably down to like 50 degrees again, and we're gonna miss sweating a little bit, but. We're going to let Herbie sweat with us right now.
Hancock?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know how we've gotten this far without a little Herbie. So I figured, jazz it up a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is Fat Mama.
Fat Mama by Herbie Hancock.
Yeah, from the album Fat Albert Rotunda.
I think the pizza guy's here.
Pizza guy's here, uh-oh. Just when we started blowing our load a little bit. Alright. Ooh, okay. Alright. That was it's a little rocky. Hopefully, yeah, we'll just edit that in post, I guess.
Can I say something honest?
Yeah.
I don't like Herbie Hancock.
Alright, well... Ladies and gentlemen, next week we will have a new co-host joining Mostly Music. It will not be the Low Spark.
I like his hits.
That's outrageous. I don't even know what that means.
I've seen him perform live.
What?
He's just...
Really?
Not in person, but like...
Jesus like Christ. Dude, who's better alive right now? I mean, I did just see McCoy Tyner last year. I'm not going to compare the two. That's just insane.
His style was, I think... In the 80s, obviously, was pioneer shit.
The 80s? I mean...
When he crossed over to, like, the semi, like, new, like, what they were calling hip-hop at the time. But anything beyond that sounds like...
I don't know about that.
Cliche elevator.
Oh, my God. No,
I'm
dude.
Sorry, dude. I can't do it.
What's happening over here? Oh, Jesus.
Can't do it. He's in the same category as Eric Clapton for... I know everyone I know that I respect their opinion loves Herbie Hancock, but
dude,
he's fucking he bores me to
fuck
death.
Are
dude.
You talking?
He bores about... me to death.
Oh my God,
he's vanilla.
What?
Yeah, he's bland.
Oh, I have no words. I didn't think I was gonna need a comeback for such a outrageous remark, dude. It's Herbie, man. Come on, what are you insane, Herbie? If you can say that, I mean. You could say what you said, maybe, about anybody, except... Look, Herbie's like... And this is going to be really weird, and he's like the jazz Neil Young, right? He evolves. He evolved through every decade. Right?
Sounds
through
exactly
every decade.
The same.
You know, he sort of was one of the first big in, like, post-bop, right? Post-bop, so obviously after bebop and everything. And then he came in with Miles... Dude, Miles in the early to mid-late 60s. I mean, he transitioned. Even after, I think Miles fired him from the quintet.
Because he was boring.
No. He was young, man. He was younger than all of them. You know, he was born in like 1940. You know, he was born when all like jazz was becoming jazz. You know, but Miles wanted to change sounds, and Herbie was always right there with him. I don't even know if there's anybody else who
say he was a follower, not a leader.
Absolutely not. Absolutely. Ridiculous. No.
I think the story, his music puts me to sleep, man.
Got fired from the quintet, or he was released from the quintet, I think, because he came home late from a honeymoon in Brazil. But then in all like Bitches Brew,
he was in Bitches Brew.
Yeah, man, he's in so many of Miles' solo albums.
He's a great backup, but as a solo artist, outrageous.
He did redefine the rhythm section in a jazz band, and he really did. I mean, he made it his own.
You know? I'll accept that.
And he always had a different style. But anyway, yeah, he was, you know, like Miles, sort of. I don't want to say Miles Davis made Herbie Hancock do this or that, because obviously I don't know anything.
Why not?
But no, he was, you know, he played the Fender Rhodes, man. Like he used to play like electric keyboards, and then he played the Fender Rhodes, which is very weird, very strange for like a classically trained pianist, you know. Anyway, I don't know. Are we going to listen to another Herbie Hancock just to fucking shut you up? Or not?
If you want to put me to sleep.
I mean, outrageous. Outrageous.
This is my personal opinion. I don't know. Like, usually I can stomach stuff, but I've tried so many times over the years, I just can't do it.
I don't even... That's insane. I
can't do it. It's something about him.
Probably kill to see Herbie Hancock. I mean, dude, that's...
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is a bucket list thing.
Like, who's left? I mean...
Yeah, but... When you play those tracks for me by the names that you're dropping, I feel something. I sense something. But when I hear Herbie Hancock, I'm like, it's like, you know what? Okay, let me give you exact...
You said 80s. You said 80s.
Well, yeah, that's when he crossed over the hip-hop and stuff and did the whole...
Yeah. That was like the Quincy Jones was
pioneer shit. Yeah, that's why. It's Quincy Jones. So Quincy Jones produced it, created Herbie's sound, and, you know...
I don't know if he... created. I think Herbie created his
own sound. If Quincy puts his finger on a fucking dial, he made you. And you can't deny that. Q is Q for a reason.
I think they were complimentary to each other. Yeah.
He was a studio bitch.
That's insane. Yeah.
Quincy was like, listen, Herbie, do what I tell you or get the fuck out. All right. You got kicked out of
fucking...
Is
that how it went?
That's how it went. I was there. Okay, you know what his music sounds like? I'm going to give you exactly what it sounds like. You ever see those really bad 70s cartoons where it's like almost like Scooby-Doo-ish animations?
Okay. That's funny. Okay. All right. No, that's
he
okay.
All right. Yeah. plays the background music to segue scenes. That's Herbie Hancock.
We were listening to Fat Albert Rotunda, exactly. Which is, he did do the theme song to Fat Albert.
Boring
the
background filler music.
Right. Well.
That's what he is, dude.
Okay, he did do some commercials and stuff like that. Yeah, but
yeah, he's filler music.
He's not filler music.
Yeah, he's what they call movements and segues. That's his. He's mastered that, but he's never gonna grow beyond that. He's gonna die being mediocre. That's Herbie Hancock.
I don't know, man. I know everybody knows Cantaloupe Island, right? I mean, and it's been covered. Numerous times, but the one thing
I credit him for being a pioneer and being creative, Quincy Jones got his dick all over it.
That was way later.
It doesn't matter. That's the one thing that actually stood out for him was because of another man. I'm gonna give him the insane.
That's Eric Clapton. Every one of Eric Clapton's famous songs are somebody written else. By somebody else. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And mainly JJ Kill. Mainly Greater Men.
Which is why JJ Kill is maybe the greatest of all time.
Shadow.
Can we listen to Cantaloupe Island so that the listeners out there understand?
Yeah, all right, feed it to me. I'll give them a 101th try.
This is
trying to be Ray. He's not Ray. I'm sorry.
But everybody knows the song. Probably because us three in the 90s did that can of loop.
Yeah, right.
And they hip-hop versioned it. That wasn't him. That was us three. That's different. But anyway. Thought it'd be...
He didn't write that trumpet. I swear to God. I'll tell you right now. He did not write that trumpet.
Look, okay. All right.
He composed the piano. He did not compose that trumpet.
What are you talking about? I know. It's his song.
I can hear it.
It's his song.
I can hear it. Him.
It's Eddie Henderson.
Eddie Henderson's. Yeah, that sounds better.
Man. I don't know. I don't think so.
I'm gonna look into it, and then I'll make
Please
you.
Please do. Yeah. All right. Okay.
It's okay. We agree to disagree.
Herbie Hancock's dope. It's bad. All right. It's okay.
So remember last episode?
Yeah.
We were talking about my stint in being able to sing and play obscure instruments.
That's right.
Because of martial arts, capoeira.
Okay.
So I decided I would play probably one of the more known tracks. Classic fucking capoeira music.
Oh, you mean right now you're gonna...
Yeah, I got a track. You'll recognize the track too. Really? You heard it in film and you've probably seen it around the city. People like playing the game and playing the music. And I don't know what it is, but it's like raw... it almost like touches a primal urge in you. Like when you hear it, you feel like you got to do something.
It's fighting music.
Yeah, not fighting music. It's like action music, you know. So capoeira is like this long history. Slaves landed in different parts of the Gulf of Mexico, you know, Brazil, things like that. And in Brazil, they call it Bahia. And the story was that the slaves decided to rebel. And they started creating their own martial arts based on the culture they brought over from Africa and mixing in with the people of Brazil, the indigenous people, and other cultures and races. And they were hiding this martial art as a dance, and they threw in instruments and stuff. So they would practice in front of their slave masters, because slave masters saw it as a dance. So it was the fighting form, capoeira. So
they allowed it. They didn't realize they were training to...
Exactly, to kill.
Revolt. You know, yeah.
They learned how to fight with shackles on. Using this martial arts is pretty cool, and but along with the culture comes candomblé, which is like almost like their black magic stuff, or what do you call it? There's two different types: regional and Angola. Angola is more of like a witchcraft kind of style, like really slow and kind of a moody version of capoeira. And regional is like the upbeat shit you see in the streets that the gangsters use to fight, and like, you know, things like that, and the stuff you see in movies. But when they're playing the game, the roda, the circle, they have instruments, very distinct instruments known to Brazil. They have, which is most known, it's called the birimbau. It's a gourd, a hollowed gourd with a bow and a metal string and a
how many string? Oh, just one string?
One string. Really? So you playing the pitch with the gourd on your stomach, a stone in your fingers, and literally like a chopstick almost looking.
Are you fretting with one hand, or you're just playing the bow?
You're twanging the bow, the metal string on the bow. And then to get pitch, you either on with the stone on the string or off. And then to get bass into like a longer note, you pull the gourd off your stomach or onto your stomach. It's kind of complicated.
Use the stone like a slide, kind of like a...
Again. Almost like a holding down a fret.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a single fret.
You find the note with the
strumming stone. With the chopstick kind of thing. Holding down the fret with the stone and then creating the pitch with the gourd on your abdomen. And so that's called the birimbau. And they also have atabaque, which is a huge drum. It's like a conga drum, but it's made from like a specific type of wood. I don't remember the type of wood, but, you know. And then they have a tambero, which is a tambourine, cowbell, triangle.
It's a lot of percussion.
It's all percussion. And then you have the singer. These people can sing. Like the fucking voices. Like, oh, man, it's so primal, so beautiful. And it just gets something like fired up in you. So that's always great, like have a martial arts class where you learn how to sing, you learn some of the words in Portuguese, because it's all in Portuguese. And you learn how to play instruments, and you learn how to fight. And I'm going to play...
Sounds pretty rad.
Yeah, it's fucking great. And when you hear this track, you're going to be like, oh shit, I feel like I want to go like fight something.
Yeah, let me see what you got.
All right, so this track's called Luana E. So
yeah, that's awesome.
That's fucking roots music, dude.
That's rad.
It's amazing. Like, so imagine.
So you said this is Caribbean with
this is
Portuguese influence, or is this Brazilian?
This is Brazilian. This is, I mean, capoeira was created in the heart of Brazil because of all these cultures meshing together and all this dramatic.
So it comes from African slaves.
African slaves being shipped by the over Portuguese to the islands into the coasts of Brazil.
Right.
And they decided, they're like, you know, fuck this shit. You know, we're going to revolt. And they put all these, like, cultures together, the colored people, you know, the Bahia, like, the center of raw culture in Brazil. And so they created this specific fighting style.
Would they use the fighting as defense or just as, oh, it was, as like, entertainment amongst themselves?
So they hit it as entertainment, so it was considered a dance.
But they were really, like,
practicing. What they were really doing is practicing to kill the slave masters.
And did they ever, are there any revolts? I mean, we know of like Nat Turner in the United States and stuff like that, but do you, are there any famous Brazilian slave revolts? I'm very ignorant on this.
So this is the same time as our slave, you know, culture in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Exact same time. Obviously, you know, every slave culture isn't going to last. It's just not really built into our DNA to be slaves. So the revolt, civil war, was a little bit after what happened in Bahia of Brazil. But when that was all over, so they gained their freedom and, you know, they became like a lesser class citizen, but still, like, you know, they pushed out all the slave masters and Brazil became independent at some point. And it was, unfortunately, it took a twist. Capoeira took a dark turn in the culture and the history of Brazil because it got adopted by the street gangs. And then there was this great man that came along who took all these styles, Angola, the more traditional, almost like witchcraft, kind of like candomblé, like preaching and worshiping like the lesser and greater gods of, you know, almost like Santeria. And then there was Regional, the style, the new style, faster, like, you know, more for like attack, adopted by the street gangs. And so he put those two things together and he created Angola Regional, and his name was Mestre Bimba. And then, like, he trained all the great, like, maestres of capoeira, and they brought it to the United States and, like, you know, so on and so forth. And now you see it in movies and shit like that. So it's got like a really deep history, but it's great stuff.
That's awesome,
man. Yeah,
that's rad. Yeah, most, I mean, you could even say possibly that all Western music comes from
Africa.
Slaves. Yeah, slave songs in the fields and call and response and chants. And yeah.
I mean, that's exactly what it is, call and response. Right. Yeah, no, yeah. That's the best part. I mean, I didn't really know that I had a voice until I got into capoeira class and I can sing in Portuguese. I didn't really know what a lot of the
and
words
you're
were.
Not, you are not Portuguese nor Brazilian, right?
No. But, cool. I mean, they teach you the words. They give you the fucking, you know, the fucking playlist. And like, sing that.
Do you have any of these instruments that you were talking about?
No, I made a beating bao once.
Performance, really?
I can get my friend in here to play some. She makes beating baos. She sells them.
Really?
Yeah. She's legit.
Sounds pretty.
She's also scary. She can beat me up.
I'd like to give it a go. Oh, I'll play the beating bow and you can just fight her and then
we'll do
record
little...
it. Give you some fight. Good
vodcast. No, it's good stuff. Yeah, fuck that. I was dancing.
That
song had me dancing.
That's
dude.
Awesome.
It's almost like ingrained into me now.
I like that.
Yeah. You don't get better than that. That man had a beautiful voice.
It's pretty nice. I like making it, you know, combining arts basically.
Yeah. That's, martial arts and music.
That is true mixed martial arts right there. Yeah, I like
it's,
that.
It's almost like Barry Gordy's The Last Dragon. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, man. Oh, the New Order concert. Remember I went to the New Order concert? Oh, man. Wow. Talk about a flashback to late 70s, mid 80s.
Yeah.
It was just fucking one of the greatest shows I've ever seen in my life, dude.
I don't know, man. I just saw Emmylou Harris
and, fuck you.
And Lucinda Williams and Roseanne Cash.
You can go fuck yourself.
Yeah, that was...
Where were they playing?
at the SF Jazz Center.
Oh, shit.
I mean, I've seen Emmylou, you know, 5 or 6 times, like, hardly strictly, but I'm always 100 yards away at least. And this was, like, very intimate, and I was kind of losing my mind. I was fully prepared to just drop everything and go and just be her bitch on tour.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you would be her boy toy.
She's so fucking hot. She's
I know.
So gorgeous.
She's a silver fox.
And she just, oh, man, her voice is...
Honey.
So it was all three of them on stage, and they each had a guitar. There was no band. They had one accompaniment on the piano, and then occasionally an electric guitar. But that was it.
They don't need it.
They would sort of take turns and then sing harmony on each other's. And oh my god,
we're gonna have a sirens episode, like Call of the Sirens, like all female singers that just lull you into the rocks, dude.
But yeah, and I would go willingly, just like Odysseus. And, yeah,
I was back to Ryan Adams.
Oh god,
are you sure? I was reading an interview that he did. Or he was actually, not real, I was listening to an interview that he did about when he was recording Heartbreaker. Mm-hmm. And when he was recording the song Sweet Carolina. And that's Emmylou backing him up.
What?
Yeah.
On that album?
That's her on that track.
Are you sure? He was he was nobody back then.
I know.
She's on?
He got her in the studio. And he was talking about how he had to compose himself and try to be cool and like not freak out, because he's like imagine us who had a little bit of talent making a fucking soon to be epic album and seeing one of the most beautiful women that's ever walked the face of the earth with rawer talent than anyone that's ever walked the face of the earth.
And I would have
standing in front of you to sing backup on one of the best tracks ever written in that genre.
Yeah, see, I'd like to think that, and I say like, oh, I would love to have Emmylou sing harmony with me. I wouldn't even be able to sing.
Yeah, he said he was so nervous, like he doesn't know how he got out of that alive.
Jack Daniels.
Yeah, that's probably what it was. But no,
it's just insane.
But he listened to her voice. I don't know if you want to play the track.
I'm gonna have to look that up a little bit later. Yeah, we're gonna do No Cure and No Ryan Adams this
one episode.
All right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess I made sure I didn't have that. Dude, what else do you have on the playlist here?
I recently sort of rediscovered Sharon Van Etten.
Oh yeah, okay.
Because on the fifth part of Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Have you been? By the way, dude, the new Twin Peaks.
I can't watch it.
It's just unbelievable.
Watching it alone, I'm gonna lose my mind.
No, you have to watch it alone. It's the only way.
Fuck.
It's the only way. Because then.
Twin Peaks scares me,
lest
dude.
Lest someone even utters a single word. It's so good. And they somehow, and I'm going to digress a little bit and just gush a little bit about this show, but they somehow create that same weirdness.
Yeah.
And, you know, without copying the original. And that's super hard to do.
You feel like his...
It's so different, but it's so... The essence is just fucking unbelievable, man.
I see of his that's so raw like that, I feel like I accidentally ingested something and it's slowly eating my insides.
that's
what I feel like when I'm watching David one of his Lynch. Fucking
And he hasn't made a movie since Inland Empire, and that was 2007, 2008. I don't even know. I mean, it's been like 10 years, but this is he refuses to call this a TV show, so he calls it's like different parts, and it's essentially just that. But anyway, he's leave it to David Lynch to bring me back to somebody I haven't really listened to in years, and she actually performs on the show. She sort of closes out one of the episodes, and they play Tarifa and from her album "Are We There?" But this album,
Sharon Van Etten, three years old now.
Yeah,
she's also doing. She was a part of the remake, 18-track remake of classics for Something in the High Castle.
Oh, The Man in the High Castle.
Man in the High Castle.
The Philip K. Dick book. They made it into a show on Amazon.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
So they did 18 tracks, and they remade all classic, like, oldies and stuff like that.
Oh, so she's on...
And she's on...
She like the theme song, or...?
It's one of the most known tracks, but she makes it really haunting. It's like a...
That was an awesome book.
I'll find it out, and I'll shoot it to you, but it's good.
Well, we will listen to Tarifa right now.
Let's do it.
Because it's been haunting me lately.
I think everything we do is haunting.
found something I could taste your mouth. Shut the door. Now in the sun tanning,
never gonna stop producing perfect music.
I love those harmonies because they're not, you know, it's they're God, they're just so mournful, so maudlin.
Yeah
I like that. I'm stupid, I like that line.
Two beers deep and I'm fucking feeling good right now with this music and the fucking the temperature. It's like, it's weird because lately I've been thinking about the swing and old new and everything in between, and you know, all your favorite artists, the ones that aren't around anymore, the ones that just don't produce things anymore, the ones that die on you, you know, right. What I mean, and then like you're stuck with what's new, yeah. And Sharon Van Etten is still making stuff that's just gonna blow everyone away, like,
yeah, and she doesn't have like that like sort of like babyish voice.
No,
like
that's a woman,
you know. Yeah,
she's a woman.
Yeah
Super, she's just being herself. She's a real artist,
right? I like it.
I remember in the 90s when I was experiencing like electronica, trance, especially music like that, and you know, I thought, oh, I'm feeling all the peaks and valleys of fucking, you know, music's influence on my physical being and shit, and I'd get into like moods of just listening to this, just like trance music all the time. And one of my favorite artists is Robert Miles, had one of the greatest, like most renowned trance albums of all time.
It was I'm not familiar with Robert.
Robert Miles did a track called Children. You probably have heard it on soundtracks.
Okay.
Unfortunately, he died
recently, or
about a month ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't know until my brother told me the other day, because this doesn't really make news anymore. I don't think he's really done anything of note, and he kind of fell out of the limelight.
He wasn't in like the whole EDM scene, or
not really. I know he's praised a lot by everyone. He's praised a lot by everyone.
The Godfather kind of thing.
Yeah, he's one of like the creators and whatnot, and forefathers of, you know, that kind of music. But so I'm gonna play "Dream" or "Children" for you off of was it "Dreamland"? Is the name of the album? Yeah, you'll recognize
it. Robert Miles,
okay. Dreamland album. Track's called "Children." Rest in peace, dude. That sucks that he's dead. Imagine me, like, well, I must have been maybe 11, 12 years old when I first bought... I bought this album. What's that mean when I bought it? It's like, I'm buying a CD.
What's the name of this album?
Dreamland.
Dreamland, okay.
So my brother hit me with the news. He's like, dude, Robert Miles... Because he knows Robert Miles meant a lot to me. And I'm like, what? I looked it up. He died of fucking cancer. He was, like, pushing 50.
He's young, he's old.
48, 49.
I mean, he's young.
Jesus young, Christ. Man. Well, he's a part insane. Of that club scene, like the dancing, trance, and fucking ecstasy, cancer. And fucking raves. Fuck. Died of cancer.
Jesus.
Yeah. So I was like, literally, I felt like, oh, that piece of my childhood swept away. That was like a good year or two of my life. You know?
Fuck.
Like, I would listen to him every fucking day. I bought his CDs so many times because I wore it out. I would wear out CDs, like would wear out vinyl. Because, you know, those old fucking
DVDs. Yeah, no, I've worn out a few CDs, actually, yeah. Because they just get scratched up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Like the top of the CD just starts just getting scraped off. Yeah. You can't even read it anymore.
Yeah, that bummed me out for like a couple days. Like, God damn it. There's another piece of my fucking childhood gone.
That sucks.
Soundtrack to it. But, you know, it's...
It happens.
It does happen. And Robert Miles is a nice guy, apparently.
Yeah.
I was reading up on him because I never really bothered to read up on him. I just loved his music, so I didn't really bother about like his background story.
Was he always like solo, or was he... Because that guy heard guitar in the beginning. Like, is he composing these?
That's what I was about to get into, is he rang in and rang out the era of producing real instruments in electronic music. So he was classically trained on the piano. I remember there's another band that like was like the drum version of him. It was like,
right.
They're called Uber Zone.
Okay.
And there's like drum machines, but they were like real musicians, right, playing these electronic drums.
It's the 80s, yeah. It's the 90s.
Yeah. Now it's like you have DJ press play.
MIDI and
pushing
the computer,
buttons.
Yeah, the computer's like an instrument now.
Snipping clips of sound and pawning it off as their own. And
yeah.
And it's not, they don't make the worst music, but at the same time, it's almost uninspired.
It is a very weird place because they use it, a lot of these DJs, they don't play an instrument, but they have mastered, you know, Ableton or their whatever software that they're using, and that in itself
is an instrument. Yeah, I get it.
I don't know enough about it to really have an opinion. I'm sure it's just as much dedication and everything like that.
I get it.
It's just not really my...
But it's like... Let's make a comparison. Like, you have to know the roots and the basics of what everything you do comes from.
You would hope, right.
That's just textbook 101. Like, you got to learn the history of where you came from, or you're just going to fail in the future. And that's what it is with music.
And that's kind of the weird thing now, because it's like, I hope they're going back to what inspires them, who they are inspired by.
There are artists. Inspired by. Don't get
it wrong. I don't know if they're going back far enough. I hope so.
There are artists that do that, but the ones that are getting the most recognition... They don't. They go in the studio. The producer tells them what to do. They lay out a formulated track and they collect the check. And then they live the lifestyle on Instagram and fucking social media and like, boom, they're millionaires.
Right. Like, I wonder. Like, when I hear these songs now, and they're usually
so overproduced.
Well, right. And I hear most of these songs, these new songs or whatever, in Ubers. I hear a lot of these in Uber. They're all playing the same station for
Not
some
me.
Reason. Right.
Not me, motherfucker.
And I wanted to get into this. But, and this is how I know. Like, I'm like, oh, this is that Justin Bieber, DJ Khaled song. Or, oh, this is that, Demi Lovato. Or,
couldn't tell you.
You know, I don't even know. And then there was, like, some Jonas Brothers song.
Couldn't tell you.
And I was with... there was somebody in the car, and they were like, oh, do you know who this is? And I was like, I don't know. I have no idea. And then like, oh, I was like, okay. But it was kind of like rock-ish. But now everything has like a hip-hop
twinge. It's a blend. Yeah.
But it got me wondering. It's like, so their influences, are they like the Strokes and like the White Stripes? You know what I mean? Like, is that who they're looking at? And then like...
I mean, it has to be.
Are they going back far
enough? It's basically generational.
What I'm curious about.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, I mean, okay, look, like,
they're carrying the torch, but where do they pick the torch up last?
Right, exactly. And how far back are they going?
Yeah.
Who are they trying to emulate? Yeah. And I don't know. So it's kind of weird, and I was in a weird mood. I usually am in an Uber. But, you know, it always seems like it's the same music. However, I will say I do believe if you are an Uber driver, or Uber as a company, should force... the drivers to play music, even if it is Nick Jonas or
non-stop.
Just something.
I play music all day.
For fuck's sake. If you're listening to this and you drive Uber, never have a silent car, please. Because I'm not going to make conversation. I'm not going to start a conversation. I'm not. I'll answer if you ask. You know, I'm not a dick, but at the same time, I don't give a shit. Like, I just want to get from point A to point B. It'd be better for all parties, especially in an Uber pool. Especially, I can't stress this enough, to have some sort of music, please.
Always.
For the love of just anything sacred and...
Update.
And awkwardness.
The Low Spark on his spare time to save money for potentially a trip to Japan, has been driving Uber and schooling people on music.
This is a huge development.
Yeah,
you know, it's great. Honestly, I wish
people have taken pictures of my. People have taken pictures of my soundtrack. Like, holy shit! People are like people our age or a little bit older coming like, fuck yeah, dude, you're playing this. I'm like, yeah. And then we start talking about music. It gets deep, real fucking deep.
See, that's rad.
And even the young kids are like, what is this? And they look of like they're perplexed,
pure wonderment.
Yeah, and they're like, what is this? This sounds familiar. I'm like, oh, it sounds familiar because everything you listen to probably sampled this style or this track directly.
Right.
And they look at the track. They're like, oh, where do I find music like this? I'm like, oh, I think there's a podcast called Mostly Music.
Free advertising.
Yeah, free advertising. But no, everyone usually, like, oh, I'll feel somebody out, and I'll just boom, 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 punch really? Something in and change the track.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I will look you up and down, mm-hmm. fill you out, go a little conversation while something's playing, and I was like, you know what, let me play something for you. Boom, boom. I'm DJing all fucking night.
That's great. Yeah. That's and as you should, because you are a driver, but you're also a teacher.
Yeah.
And take that opportunity to inform people, even if it is subconscious, even if they don't say a word, they might internalize it. Either way, it's at least not like Wild 97. And again, I don't mind it. I don't mind pop hits.
I don't
just
mind
play
it.
Something. But it's better if there's a little bit more behind it rather than just background music.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that's just a wish.
Yeah, but the best part is the refreshing thing is more often than not, I get schooled.
Really?
That's the best part. And
that's
they're like,
awesome.
Oh, dude,
that's
like, yeah, check this out. And they'll take the fucking headphone jack and play something. I'm like, yeah, okay, I got it. Well, that's great.
All right, so I am talking to somebody in the actual industry, and in the business, I should say. And I remember a few months ago, maybe probably 6 months ago or something, I got into an Uber and it said, oh, connect with Spotify and play music. Uh-huh. Is that still like a thing? Can I just put music on this guy's radio?
I think it's Pandora and Spotify.
I don't believe in Pandora, but okay. Yeah. All right.
But it's that's it. You can control the app, you can control what gets played.
How do you do that? Do I have to like update my app or
you both have to be
he has to like accept it or something?
No,
or?
Well, you both have to be able to do it. So if he has that app kind of
like a supplemental app,
or is this
it's through the Uber app?
Okay, because I remember one time it offered, and
because he has to flip the switch.
Ago.
There's a switch on the app
that allows
that says
you
play
to
a music
override.
Play.
I mean, look,
and that just allows you guys to play whatever you want.
If I was an Uber driver, I could see how that would be extremely annoying, but at the same time,
I've seen
in silence.
I've seen Snapchats of people I know in their mid-30s that I grew up with that are fucking badgering the fucking Uber driver.
Oh, good. See, yeah, exactly. I'll never tell the
fucking
guy.
Music.
I'll sit there in silent rage, but I won't say, hey, bro, put this on or put on something. You know, it's not my car. Right. And I still respect the rules.
Yeah.
Like, I get I'm paying for it, but at the same time, it's still not my car.
Yeah.
I like when they ask, hey, would you like me or do you mind music? Sure. I like, you know, you get picked up like by like an Egyptian guy and he's playing some crazy Middle Eastern rock. Like I love that shit. That's great. I just got picked up recently. The guy was like, I was getting down. Like it was like a 30-minute ride and I was thoroughly impressed. I really liked it.
I got to say 90-something% of my rides, people are usually on their phone,
right.
But they're on their notes writing shit down that we're talking about or music that we're both listening to.
That's awesome.
Every time. It's fucking great.
Rad. I mean, almost virtually always give 5-star rating. I think I've only not done that twice, and it was because the guy was like text. It was just super dangerous. The guy was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
He shouldn't have been on the road, let alone on Uber. But anyway, like the only time I've ever actually written a comment is when they're just playing good music. And then I'll actually like take the time. And this guy was playing like 50s bebop or something. I'm like, that was fucking awesome, man. I love it. It was a great ride, you know. It's rare, but occasionally it's always because of the music, you know, because it makes a big difference. Again, I'm not gonna shy away from a conversation, but at the same time, I'm never gonna start it, and I really don't care. It's a few minutes, you know. You're driving people from like Pacifica to the city. That's a long ride.
That's
at least a half
I think
hour.
The longest ride I did was to San Jose from the city. And, we were just, that's all we were doing, was talking about music and shit. And
That's awesome.
I learned a lot that day. That's an older guy.
For an older guy. Okay. Yeah. Are you learning about like newer music?
Both. We were both sharing. Like, yeah. He goes to concerts of like Alt J and shit like that. You know, like all these like new artists that are producing amazing things. It was great. I love that. It's a good social experiment. I mean, I do it like 15, 20 hours a week.
That's a lot.
It's enough to pay for my trip to Japan potentially.
That's I'm jealous. Do you have a plan? Japan? Like, do you have like a specific city? I mean, I'm sure.
My friend Tokyo, Miguel is planning the itinerary, and I'm just tagging along because he's been there quite a few times.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's taking a group.
That's ideal.
Yeah, he's like the group leader. So
yeah, you want to go? I follow.
He asked me. He was like, "Where do you want to go? You want to be in the nerd area?" The video game area, the tourist area.
Into the
comics. All the fanboy shit.
Do you do manga? Is that a thing?
Oh, yeah. What's that over there, dude?
That's right. Yeah.
I got the whole collection.
I'm assuming it's Japanese manga.
I got a stack of books. Take your pick.
There's like a whole like districts devoted to this.
It's just like the city, like all the different cultures and districts, just like Japanese based stuff. Great. Where do you want to go? What do you want to do?
That's right. Well, I would just want to eat.
That's what I told him. He was like, "Do you want to be in the food or just like have?" Like, "Dude, I want to go to Jiro. I want to go to Jiro, eat his sushi, walk down the street, hug Pikachu, fight a samurai master. I want to do everything." It's like I want it all, bro. I want to meditate with a Buddhist, bathe with some Yakuza in a bathhouse, and talk about I want all that shit, dude. I want to be Bushido by the time I leave, bro. I got 10 days to do it.
10 days?
Yeah, shit, he was like, consider it delivered.
Wow.
Yeah, okay. He knows what he's doing. Like, when I went to Disneyland with him, that guy is a fucking... He's an idiot savant when it comes to fucking shit that he loves. And I went with him to Disneyland. He's like, that over there, this over here, we're going to try this first. This is how we're going to do it. And guess what? It was the greatest fucking days I've had in years.
So where am I... My goofy sour cherry balls. Where the fuck are those, bro?
Did you ask for those?
Yeah, I asked for those.
Dude, I got really wasted, bro. We snuck in a liter of rum on the first day and a liter of tequila.
Who's carrying
the second
this liter?
Day. Oh, a liter? It's water bottles that emptied out filled with rum and or tequila.
They let you bring in unopened...
No, they don't check it. We got wasted.
Wow.
We rode Pirates of the Caribbean over and over and over again.
Yo-ho, yo-ho.
We were singing... The pirate song.
You were actually the drunken pirate.
Like, we were.
People probably thought you were planted there. Like, you were actually paid.
We were stumbling through the park when the sun went down. We were pretty close to getting kicked out. Yeah, we were wasted.
Well, two dudes in their 30s.
Two grown men in their 30s celebrating Disney.
Without kids.
It was intense.
That's pretty good.
Do you play something else for me?
Yeah.
Your ears are getting kind of dry.
I'm glad we covered the Uber thing. I need to get that off my chest. It's been, and again, just play something. I can't stress this enough. There might be somebody. Okay. Anyway. I had an idea about, so we used to play this game. This is years ago. We used to work together years ago. And we would try to get a song stuck in somebody else's head, right?
Earworm game.
Earworm. Which, by the way, if that's not already like a copyrighted game.
I won a lot.
You did win a lot because you would do fucking Seal, Kiss from a Rose. And that's, I just said Kiss from a Rose, and there are people that have that song in their head right now. And it's going to be in their head until they actually listen to the song. But there was one song that we would, for some reason, sing, but nobody knew who it was by. And we even asked the oldest guy there, and he was in his late 50s.
He didn't know either.
He didn't know. He was close. I'll give him that. He was close. But... it took me a while. It took me a while. So I'm gonna play this right now.
Memory lane. Fuck, this is awesome.
Right now, and I'm gonna see.
I'm singing along.
See.
Fair warning, you might want to mute my mic.
And you can play along at home. And if you get this, just give yourself a pat on the back because that's pretty impressive. But let's see what we got here.
This is awesome. I always got you on this track, too.
I used to be a lunatic. come back early.
Yeah, that was...
No more I love yous.
I gotta, Yeah, that's...
So, yeah, man. So do you, to this day, do you even know who that is?
No.
No, you don't.
I know them, but the name right, eludes me. Yeah.
No, you definitely know the name.
We'll drop the name.
But, by the way, it took me a while to find this, because it's hard, because I didn't know the name of the song.
You had to Google doobie-doop-doop-doop.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I had to try different variations. Yeah. But luckily now, there are other people out there.
I forgot there were even words.
Right, exactly. Yeah, No More I Love Yous by Annie Lennox.
Annie Lennox, I fucking knew it! I fucking knew it! I had the vinyl.
You had the vinyl. It haunted me for years.
Well, I didn't keep my vinyls. This is one of the biggest regrets of my life. And I lost a lot of records. That's one of them. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace.
Hard to keep.
Low Sparks record collection.
Yeah. Because, you know, you're in a jam, you sell some vinyl.
No.
Yeah.
No, The Great Destruction.
What?
2002. Broke all my records.
In a fit of rage?
Oh, yeah.
Broken heart rage?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
We're not going to go there.
That'll happen. No More I Love Yous.
No More. That's right. I love you, Annie Lennox. But yeah. Talking about, like, fuck, that was fucking great, man. So... new music, like, you know, hip-hop with electronic twists, mm-hmm. with alternative rock undertones, and you hear, like, the catchiest fucking sounds, and you're like, fuck, that's fucking good, that's a hook. It gets me, it gets them, the kids, everyone. I'm gonna play a track, M.I.A.
Okay, okay, yeah.
Paper Planes.
Okay.
All right? I want you to hear this song, and then I'm gonna play for you after... where the song came from. Here's the MIA's version of Paper Planes.
I fly like paper, get high like planes. If you catch me at the border, I got visas in my name. If you come around here, I'll make a more day. I get one down in a second if you wait. I fly like paper, get high like planes. If you catch
okay, so that's MIA's Paper Planes. Okay. But a lot of people, only people that are like 80s and 90s kids know where that bass line and that hook instrumentation comes from.
It was just like a droney bump, 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 dum, bump, dum, bump, dum, bump, yeah. bump, bump. Yeah.
It's The Clash.
A specific song?
Straight to Hell. Right here.
Listen, we're going to hear this whole song because it's fucking bad.
Of the Amerasian blues.
when it's Christmas out in Ho Chi Minh City. Kitty say, Papa, 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 Papa Sam, take me home. See me got photo, photo, photograph of you and Mama, Mama, Mama Sam, of you and Mama, Mama, Mama Sam. Let me tell you about your blood bamboo kid. It ain't Coca-Cola, it's rice. Straight to hell, boy. Go straight to hell, boy. Go straight to hell, boy. Go straight to hell, boy. Oh, Papa Sam, please take me home. Oh, Papa Sam, everybody, they wanna go home. So Mama Sam says, wanna play mind crazed banjo on the druggy drag ragtime USA.
That's great.
Yeah, the best part is like MIA is a real artist. She's amazing. She's fucking great.
Really?
Great music.
I don't know enough about her.
And they're both fucking Brits. You know? So I'm sure she wasn't just sampling, she was totally paying homage to the Clash.
Yeah, I'm sure she grew up with that.
Oh, of course, man. Like, you've seen her style is so obscure, supernatural, but very, like, unique, you know? I can appreciate her. She's newish the past 10 years. So.
Right, yeah.
But no, yeah, that Straight to Hell by the Clash still fucking, it kills me, man.
That's great.
It's good.
It's good.
It gives me the feels.
So many of those like late Clash songs are like Lost in the Supermarket.
Yeah,
I love that fucking song.
No, my favorite before this track would be Police and Thieves.
Later Clash is a little bit more, I don't know, poppy, a little bit more.
It's great though. I mean,
it's super good.
They gradually evolved, and then he died. You know, that's the way it goes. Who knows what he would have been. He probably would have just, like, I don't know, become like another U2.
Joe Strummer? But make more Jim Jarmusch movies, I guess. Yeah.
How I Won the War. Is that what that was?
He was in a few, man.
He was in one with John Lennon? No, that was John Lennon's How I Won. I don't know.
No,
I forget.
No, Jim Jarmusch. I don't know.
Whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
It's English shit.
Yeah. Mystery Train. That's the only one I can think of right now. But anyway, yeah. That's good. I like
but,
that.
But
I like that.
Like another artist that you probably end, it's strong enough to end on. So how do I put it? So Stephen Merritt. You know who Stephen Merritt is? The front man for, I don't want to say front man, it's too aggressive for him because he's very passive. Magnetic Fields.
Oh, okay.
69 Love Songs.
Yeah.
He just came out with something new called 50 Songs of Memoirs. So he's turning 50. And it's like, the guy's actually got a tragic, weird story. Like, his father was a known folk singer who had an affair with his mother, who was a different type of artist. Never met his father until, like, a few years ago.
Really?
Yeah. It's really fucking...
So like, this is all, like, a memoir in... In 50
it's
like, songs?
It's one song for every year of his life.
Whoa.
Yeah, but 69 Love Songs is one song for every emotion he's ever felt. You know what I mean? It's like, he's intense, man. It's
hardcore.
Yeah, Stephen Merritt's intense. He's so intense and so appreciated. There's a band called Stephen Merritt named after him, but they have nothing to do with him.
It's not a cover band?
No, it's just a band named after him. That's how... Like, his voice, too. Fuck, dude. Like, it's... If you want to talk about haunting and... brooding and moody, but very fucking smooth, and it's like music for a twisted lullaby. Stephen Merritt's voice is very
he's that really deep sort of almost like Crash Test Dummies. I shouldn't
exactly.
Have said that.
No, it's great. It's perfect. Yeah. No, yeah. But yeah. My comparison was going to be every time I hear magnetic fields, I hear you. Really? You could probably do a Steven Merritt cover band.
Okay.
All right. All right.
Well, all else fails, I'll just start a magnetic
field. It's great because this track is so powerful. So I'm going to play it for you guys.
Okay.
So powerful, so strong. It just transcends all genres of music and lifestyles. Because I played it for a close friend of mine, Miguel, one night. And he likes this type of music. And I played it for him. And he just stopped. He was like, holy shit, what the fuck is this? I'm like, that's from 69 Love Songs. That's I Don't Believe in the Sun.
Is this new?
Came out 99.
Okay.
I was a junior in high school when I first got this album.
Wait, is this the... This isn't the memoir.
It's not the new... We'll play that next time.
Sorry, yeah.
This is the song that actually, like, for me, defines what Steven Merritt's voice can do to you. Lyrically. And just, like, you know...
Spiritually.
Emotionally, yeah. When you hear it, you're like... You have no choice but to fall into the void.
Submit.
Of Steven... He's going to put you on a journey. And that journey might not end well.
And on that note, we will... Let him play us out.
An appropriately named I Don't Believe in the Sun by Magnetic Fields.
Live and unlive from San Francisco, California. This is Ignatius Palafox.
I'm the Low Spark.
Signing out.
They say there's a sun in the sky. But me, I can't imagine why. There might have been one before you were gone, but now all I see is the night. So I don't believe in the sun. How could it shine down? Stop.